Bill Lasky, Carrie Crowley, as we bring in Adam Copeland today. Adam, how are you doing on a beautiful Sunday afternoon?
I'm resilient SF, Bill. I figured I'd try to work that in this morning.
That's good.
I don't know. I'm doing all right, man. Yeah, I'm doing all right. Good Sunday morning. Looking for a Giants win in the series, man. Tough win last night, though.
Well, I know yesterday you had a lasagna going for the afternoon. I got to ask you, how did the lasagna turn out and the garlic bread next to it?
Oh, dude, it was good. And the best thing about lasagna, especially when you host, is guess what I'm having for dinner tonight, Bill?
I was just going to ask you if you had any leftovers. That's even better.
Exactly.
Hey, Logan Webb's on the hill today, and, you know, I'm looking over his last three starts. A lot of pitches in the 90s after five innings. It just tells me a lot of 2-0 counts, a lot of counts that are favorable to the hitter. You have a very aggressive team with Miami. What do you see that Logan Webb really has to do today?
You know, that's a good point about the pitch count and about falling behind in count, especially because he's working off of a changeup, right? So if he's trying to throw the fastball for strikes and then falls behind with the fastball and his out pitch or his swing and miss pitch is that changeup, then it's a little bit tougher to deceive these hitters when you're constantly, and I know in today's game it's, they say there's no such thing as a fastball count, right? But it's, I think, consistently more difficult to get those swings and misses when you're trying to throw your changeup without having to locate the fastball. Because then guys can just sort of sit dead red. They know that they're waiting for you to come in with a fastball, and they don't have to worry about your off-speed stuff. So for me today with Logan Webb, I'm really looking for his stuff and his control to sort of come back around to what we saw in the Cactus League, because I really do think the future for him with the Giants, at least for this season, based on what we've seen from the rotation, could be in the bullpen. The Giants need help out of the bullpen. They need a power arm. I thought that seventh inning he threw a couple of weeks ago when he came in for Cueto, who got injured on that that getaway day when he came into the seventh inning and threw a clean seventh, he was pretty sharp. So I think potentially if he can start to locate that fastball and really get some confidence back, I think based on what we've seen over the first few starts this year, he could be a factor for them out of the bullpen, and I think they're going to need it. We saw it last night. They're going to need right-handed help out of the bullpen, and we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now, and they were hoping Doval was going to be the guy. I know Gregory Santos gets knocked around a little bit yesterday, but they're going to need some help at that back end of the pen, and I do think potentially if Logan Webb can get some confidence back, he could be that guy.
You're absolutely right, and every time I look at high pitch counts like that, I always look at the first inning. The first inning is either the hardest inning for a starting pitcher, or if you come right out of the bullpen, you fall right into that groove. And I think today is really meaningful for him and Kirk Casale to get right on the right page in the first inning. When you're looking at Chisholm, Rojas, and Aguilar, you're looking at three top hitters right here, and they're going to come right at him. And I think 0-1 is going to be so important today with Logan Webb. Your thoughts on that?
You mean getting ahead in the count and finishing the pitch after 0-1?
Exactly.
I think you're absolutely right.
Just getting ahead 0-1 is the, and then you can work off everything off of that.
Well, that's huge. That comes right back to what we were just talking about. If he's ahead 0-1 with that fastball, you know, throwing a changeup that's diving and darting away from those left-handed hitters, guys like Chisholm, and we've seen Aguilar kind of come around in these last couple of games. He'd not had a home run until he hit that one on, what was it, Thursday night or Friday night, I guess, off of Jake McGee. Anyway, getting ahead in the count, obviously, is a confidence builder for a young starter, but it also opens up the arsenal a little bit. And it's going to let Kirk Casale sort of work with him. And, it's funny because Casale's got this shutout streak going. Right, and we're looking at Logan Webb coming in, who's by far been, you know, I don't want to hammer him, but he's been the worst starter of the bunch to this point this season. So Casale's streak on the line, Logan Webb needing some confidence, and the Giants can win the series here, you know. So this is an opportunity to bounce back after a poor offensive output yesterday, despite the starting pitching from Gausman being great. I think this is a big outing for Logan Webb, and then we'll reevaluate and see what happens with Johnny Cueto in the days to come.
Carrie,
hey, Copes, looking at this National League West race. Yeah, can you hear me now, Bill?
Yeah, we're good.
All right. Well, Copes, my apologies. I was hooking on late due to some technical issues, but I wanted to touch on a subject here that Marty touched on with Mark Sanchez, and that's Fernando Tatis and the two home runs he hit last night off Trevor Bauer. With some exciting matchups coming up in the National League West, who are you more excited to see this season, 19 games of the Giants and the Padres or 19 games of the Giants and the Dodgers?
Boy, boy, that's it's tough because it's like it's fun no matter what the records are, no matter what the rosters are for Giants and Dodgers. And we've seen over the last couple of years, you and I have talked about it on several occasions, Kerry, that the Giants' record, despite the Dodgers having, what is it, 8 straight division crowns now against L.A., has been pretty good over the last couple of years, darn near playing them close to 500. So that's always exciting. That's always fun. And as fans, I think we really are clamoring for that sort of rivalry, right, to be able to get back to the ballpark and lay some booze on the Dodgers. I know Dodger fans are going to be coming in hot and heavy buying tickets, and so Giants fans, hold on to your seats if you can for those series. But as far as Fernando Tatis Jr. is concerned, same feelings about him as I have about Jazz Chisholm. These guys are great for the game of baseball, and I actually really like Trevor Bauer's comments last night after the one-eye sort of salute that Fernando Tatis Jr. gave as he was rounding first base, sort of mocking Trevor Bauer for pitching with one eye open. But he said, this is the type of attitude, the type of showmanship, the type of gamesmanship we need in the game to allow this game to continue to thrive and survive. And young players like Tatis, who have burst onto the scene, are much more marketable than guys like Mike Trout, who are maybe the best player in baseball, but just sort of steady as he goes. So seeing guys like Tatis, Acuna, Jazz Chisholm, all these young players who are lighting it up across the board and are also, like, not only are they great players, they're great showmen. They appear to have that, I think I said to you before, that sort of Pablo Sandoval boyish charm to them where they're smiling on the field, they're having fun, it's not a grumpy old game. And I think it's exciting for fans, but getting out to the ballpark after not getting to see it last year, I'm really, really excited, maybe more than any player in baseball, to get to see Tatis play in person at Oracle Park. So the fact that they're going to come to town 3 different times this year, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Adam, on the post game tonight, extra innings, I got to sit down with David Brundage. He's the manager at the SAC alternate site, and he also has been a manager for the Rivercats. And we talked about the education of the young players, Bishop, Ramos, Bart, and he talks about these guys really after games sitting down and really understanding what went right and what went wrong. When you start looking at all this young talent and how much they're really putting into the game, when and do you think we will see any of these guys this year?
Boy, it's tough. It's tough to tell. I still stand by the Ramos one, and I saw a video of him from the alternate site the other day hitting the bomb, some crazy exit velocity. I've seen some great video of Kyle Harrison, the guy they drafted, the left-handed kid out of De La Salle last season. So Pat Bailey, I think, hit a home run at the alternate site the other day. Luciano had some crazy exit velocity on a home run. I think we will see Ramos. But to your point, Bill, it's about getting guys to a level where, and I know Gabe Kapler preached this a lot last year, they want to do more teaching at the big league level, which is sort of what I think is happening around the league, and it's why you're getting so many young players. It's become a young man's game. It's why you're getting so many young guys to the bigs after maybe 2 seasons in the minors, and maybe even less than that now after what we saw with the hiatus last year. But it's about getting guys to a situation where I think, and you understand this too from all the playing and the coaching you've done, Bill, is that, like, I think guys have to have things be second nature, right? You can't have a guy standing out in center field not knowing where to throw the ball when it's hit to him, or not knowing the situation on the field, or not knowing where to pick up his base coach when he's on the base paths. And these are the sort of mental errors that, you know, in baseball, physical errors are going to happen. It's the mental errors that kill you, and a lot of times you see that from young players and young impressionable players who you want to make sure the game doesn't break them too early in their career. So a guy like Elias Ramos, who was part of the last regime here, and was signed or drafted as a 16-year-old, and we heard he may be a 5-tool guy. The fact that he's now sort of brimming at that level where he could be jumping into the big leagues this year and making an immediate impact, if the offense doesn't pick up for the Giants and if the right-handed hitting in the outfield does not hold up for the Giants or doesn't continue to perform the way we've hoped it would, I think you could see him sometime early in the summer. And it might not be a bad idea, especially if the Giants are in the mix like they are right now. That injection of life, we saw it in 2010 with Buster Posey. We've seen it with young guys like Bumgarner and Tim Lincecum over the last decade. That sort of injection of life and youth into a lineup or into a roster can do wonders for a team. And it's happened across baseball. Tatis, Acuna, not to know that Ramos is in that class yet or will be ever talked about in that class. But I think if you get a guy who's young, who's powerful, who's hungry, who can help the team now, why not have him learn a little bit more at the big league level, which is why I think we could see him this year.
Boy, the prospect talk is sure fun, Copes. And one of the things that we've pointed out in the past few days is Elliot Ramos, Camilo Doval, Gregory Santos, Marco Luciano, a number of these guys that the Giants are now talking about who could make an impact within the next year to 2 years. a lot of them were Bobby Evans finds. At the very end of Bobby Evans' tenure, 2016-2017, the former Giants general manager, you know, he was run out of town and cursed by so many fans for the 2017 debacle, but at the very end, he really did start to replenish the farm system.
It was Bobby all along, right? It was Bobby Evans all around. It was Tatale all along. The thing with Bobby Evans, and you're right, he got put in a real tough situation in 2017 where he still had a bunch of big contracts. He had a huge core of the World Series guys, and he was tasked with being at the end of Bruce Bochy's tenure, and his contract wasn't up yet. But the Giants were going for it each and every year for like 5 to 7 years there. Every year we're going to be in at the deadline. We're going to go get Carlos Beltran. We're going to get Mike Leake. We're going to get Hunter Pence. We're going to continue to add bullpen arms like Ramon Ramirez and Javi Lopez like they did each and every year. So I felt like, you know, the acquisitions Bobby Evans made in moving Matt Duffy to go get Evan Longoria, it's not like Matt Duffy has had some Hall of Fame career since leaving. He brought in Matt Moore, who was pretty darn good, almost threw a no-hitter down at Dodger Stadium at the end of that season and then just kind of flamed out when they needed him most. And Madison Bumgarner throws the great, you know, 2016 game one for the wild card performance in New York. All that stuff is fantastic. And I think that Bobby Evans sort of gets the brunt of the tough end of things here, the short end of the stick, because he leaves in one of the worst seasons in San Francisco Giants history after bringing in veteran players to try to make a push, and it didn't work out. And then they've got to turn the whole thing over. But to Kerry's point, he definitely rebuilt this farm system that, for lack of I don't want to hammer on Sabian or anything, but they just didn't produce a whole lot of young talent, a whole lot of young players prior to the World Series years. The Dusty Baker years were not – we're joking about how it's a young man's game now. That was a veteran's game. Dusty didn't come up with almost anybody. You know, your Ryan Jensens and your Jesse Fopperts, those guys were here for a little bit, but you've got to continue to produce young talent. I think what the Giants are doing now in the international pool, what they've done at the low ends of the minor league system boost this team while at the major league level staying competitive over the last two seasons. It's been fun to watch, certainly this year, but the prospect of having these prospects in the near future is even more exciting.
Thanks, Adam and Kerry, on your insight on the Giants pregame show. Coming up next, Marty Lurie goes to the Oracle booth with Dave Fleming. Coming up next on KNBR 104.5 680, the sports leader. We'll be right back.